At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Welcome to the Hornets Hivecast, presented by Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. Here's your host, Rob Longo.
Hi, friends, and welcome to today's edition of the Hornets Hivecast, the official podcast of the Charlotte Hornets, brought to you by Senta, Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. Rob Longo with you on this edition of the HHC. Unfortunately, it is a silver linings edition of the Hornets Hivecast as Charlotte falls on the second night of a back-to-back last night on the road to Philadelphia, 121-114. Hornets were the much more tired team going into that one. Philadelphia, the much more well-rested team, as the Sixers had multiple days off going into this one. The Hornets were getting on the plane right after the loss to Milwaukee on Friday and heading to the city of brotherly love to take on the 76ers. Charlotte falls to 15-45 on the season, and they are now in a little bit of a rut, have lost three in a row, as the Sixers now take a 3-0 series lead on the series this season. Helping me out with all these topics on this edition of the Hornets Hivecast, it's the one and only lead writer of Hornets.com, Sam Perley. And Sam, I know we previewed this one together yesterday on the HHC. We were hoping for better vibes going into this one, but unfortunately, maybe the Hornets just ran out of a little bit of gas there towards the end of the game last night. But thank you for joining me on this edition of the HHC nonetheless.
Of course. Thank you for having me. I know I said on the podcast yesterday, same time tomorrow, hopefully a different result. That was not the case. I think you hit the nail on the head. Just felt like the back-to-back just caught up with them there at the end of the towards the end of that fourth quarter, and they just ran out of steam and bodies too, which I'm sure we're going to get to momentarily.
Yeah, this one was a little bit of a weird one as we go ahead and recap this one. No Brandon Miller in this one, no LaMelo Ball, no Mark Williams, which is the latter two have been more of the status quo here over the last couple of weeks, but Brandon Miller popped up on the injury report a little bit later in the day yesterday, took a hard fall in that game against Milwaukee and tried to give it a go in warm-ups and shoot around and just couldn't get it going, and unfortunately had to miss this one. Don't look at it being a long-term thing, maybe just a one game. Heck, maybe he might have not even missed if it wasn't the second night of a back-to-back, not to speculate. But again, Philadelphia was dealing with a ton of injuries in their own right. No Joel Embiid, no Kelly Oubre, no KJ Martin, no Robert Covington. A lot of pieces missing on both sides as Seth Curry got the start for the Hornets, his first start ever since he was traded over to Charlotte, his fourth start of the season, his first start since December 12th, and the Hornets got off to a little bit of a rocky start in this one as they ended up having Miles Bridges hit the first bucket of the game, but then the Sixers ripped off an 8-0 run. Hornets started the game 2-for-11 shooting from the field. Philadelphia eventually worked out a 32-27 lead going into the second quarter, shooting 52% in that first frame because Tobias Harris had a 13-point quarter. Miles Bridges had 8 points in that first frame. Davis Bertans also had 8 points off the bench as well for Charlotte. We go to the second quarter. Hornets able to regain the lead. They ripped off a 23-9 run over the span of about 5 minutes in that second quarter. The Sixers closed on a little bit of a crescendo there at the end of the second quarter, but Charlotte able to hold a 63-58 lead going into the locker room behind 13 points from Miles Bridges, who also had 8 rebounds at the time. Davis Bertans had 11 points in that first half as well, as it was Tobias Harris that had 15 points, and Tyrese Maxey had 14 as well through two quarters of play. As we go into the third quarter, Philadelphia able to flip the game in its favor, outscoring Charlotte 30-21 in that third quarter, as the Hornets got a little bit cold from beyond the arc, 1 of 8 shooting from three in that third frame, shot 43%, but the Sixers just did better. They shot 52% from the field there in that third quarter. Tobias Harris and Tyrese Maxey, they were already north of 20 points in the contest. Nick Richards had a big third quarter. He had 9 of his 17 up until that point of the game. In the third frame, Miles Bridges already had a double-double, and we go to the fourth quarter where things were pretty tight, as Philadelphia had an 88-84 lead going into the fourth frame, and the Hornets had to call timeout early. Sixers opened up the frame on a 7-2 run, almost back and forth in that fourth quarter, as Philadelphia was able to stretch the lead to about 12 and double figures a couple times there throughout the middle of the fourth quarter. Hornets made one final run of it there towards the end of the final frame, but got some bad news on the injury front there. Seth Curry rolled an ankle with about 5 minutes left to go in the game, and then with about 30 seconds left to go in the game, Cody Martin got rolled up on with an ankle injury as well. So the Hornets that were already shorthanded got a little bit more shorthanded in the final 5 minutes of the contest. Charlotte got it within 5 with about 30 seconds left to play, and the Hornets just could not overcome the mountaintop as Philadelphia wins at 121-114 last night. The big one in this one for me, Sam, was the second chance points opportunities. Philadelphia, 15 offensive boards, it resulted in 28 second chance points. Charlotte, 7 offensive rebounds, resulted in 14 second chance points. So not bad, but just so much done better by Philadelphia there in the second chance points department, because the Hornets played a better game than the Sixers did, quite frankly. 51% from the field compared to just 48 for the Sixers. Charlotte and Philly basically even in the three-point percentage, 43% for Philly, 42% for the Hornets. Charlotte did get to the free throw line a little bit more, but those second chance points opportunities just really hampered the Hornets there, especially down the stretch.
Oh, absolutely. And I think another thing that kind of makes it a little tougher to swallow in terms of the possession game is Charlotte only had 5 turnovers. I mean, that's got to be one of the lowest totals in quite some time. I know that was a big problem at the start of the most recent road trip, and to only have 5 turnovers and the extra possessions you're giving away are all on the defensive glass is really, really tough. And it felt like periodically, especially in that second half, they just kind of slowly started to add up. And, you know, it'd be a late, you know, you'd force an errant shot at the end of a shot clock and it missed. And it would barely graze the rim and go right into somebody's hands. They put a layup right up. Just a lot of the timing of some of these second chance points felt kind of like really backbreaking, momentum swinging kind of stuff. And kind of the grand finale of the second chance points was there at the end. I think the Hornets went on an 11-2 run to get it from 11 down to 2 with 2 minutes to go after Grant Williams' 3-point shot. And then over the next 2 76ers possessions, they got 3 offensive rebounds leading to 5 total points. It was a Tobias Harris 3 and a pair of Kyle Lowry free throws that put the lead up to 5 with 31 seconds left. So that was kind of, I think, the key stretch there. You had yourself, gave yourself a chance there, got it within one possession, and just could not get the defensive rebound you needed to go back down the court and either tie it up or take the lead. So this is just one of those games too. It's like when you don't have a ton of size and a ton of depth in the front court, games like this are going to happen every once in a while, and they happened last night.
A couple of notes there. You talked on the turnovers there, the lack of turnovers, which is a pleasant thing to say here for the Hornets. Charlotte turned the ball over 5 times, resulted in 4 Philadelphia points. Sixers turned the ball over 7 times. Hornets didn't really capitalize, only 3 points off of those turnovers. But the 5 turnovers for Charlotte, the fewest this season by the Hornets. You have to go all the way back to last season on January 16th, the last time that the Hornets had 5 turnovers, and that was against the Boston Celtics. Resulted in a loss, but did take care of the basketball. That was the good news. The other good news, too, is that the Hornets finally broke the century mark offensively in the game last night. It was a 4-game streak where Charlotte was held under 100 points. They were able to get to 100, well, rather easily. I mean, 114 points. They had 84 going into the fourth quarter, and they were still able to put up 30 points there in that fourth frame. But again, just felt like the Hornets got a little bit gassed there in that fourth quarter, especially like you mentioned, the lack of depth in the front court. Philadelphia able to outscore Charlotte in that second half, 63 to 51 in favor of the Sixers. Still a lot to talk about in this one, though. Miles Bridges with a team-high 27 points in this one. Tyrese Maxey goes for a game-high 33, and Tobias Harris right behind him with a 31-point performance as well. So you give credit where credit's due. Those guys really shoulder the load there for Philadelphia. Kyle Lowry also had 15 points. Former Hornet, I guess? I don't know. We say that tongue-in-cheek. Buddy Hield had 13 in a starting role as well. Paul Reed had 11 points off the bench. And the other thing that I really liked in this game here for the Hornets, now I look at the box score a little bit more, is the fact that the bench really showed up in this one. Grant Williams, Vasilij Micic, Davis Bertans, all in double figures coming off the bench, 13, 13, and 14 points respectively there. They outscored Philadelphia's bench 42-27. And again, most nights that's going to get the job done. It just kind of goes back to those second chance points. So the Hornets starting to round the corner offensively, it feels like, after the game last night, just doesn't result in a W against a high-powered Philadelphia team. Even though they are missing a guy like Joel Embiid, they still have an all-star in Tyrese Maxey as well. Hornets fall 121-114 against the Sixers. Our silver lining picks come your way right after this here on the Hornets Hivecast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but, like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
It's a Silver Linings edition of the Hornets Hivecast. Rob Longo and the lead writer of Hornets.com, Sam Perley, with you on this edition of the HHC. Still a lot to talk about in this edition of the Hornets Hivecast. We're going to talk about the latest article that Sam Perley wrote on Hornets.com as well, highlighting the beautiful passing of Vasilij Micic. We'll get to that here in a few moments. But right now, we got to talk about our Silver Lining performances from last night's game. Towards the end of that last segment, I kind of laid the land there for the potential candidates for Silver Lining performances for the Hornets. Miles Bridges with a double-double, 27 points, 11 rebounds. Those are both team highs. And you have Nick Richards with 19 points in the game last night as well. Cody Martin had 12 points before he had to go out with that ankle injury, unfortunately. Grant Williams, Vasilij Micic, Davis Bertans, all in double figures off the bench. So, Sam Perley, I will defer to you. Who is your silver lining pick in last night's game?
Yeah, like you said, I'm going to go with Miles Bridges. I got his fifth double-double in the past six outings. Team high, 27 points. Team high, 11 rebounds, also had 5 3-pointers. That was the most since February 7th in his career high 45-point game. Had 2 assists and shot pretty efficiently too. It was 10 of 18. The efficiency has been down the last 4 or 5 games for him, so it's good to see more shots go in the net than obviously not. So I know the plus minus wasn't super great. I think he spent a lot of time out on the court when Maxey and Harris were out there. They combined for over 60 points. They obviously had really, really good efforts. But Miles, I think, also had 12 points there in the fourth quarter, and it definitely contributed a little bit to that 11-2 run down the stretch. So when they have games like this where Miles is shooting efficient, getting up 25, 27, 28, 29, 30 points, that's where the Hornets offense needs to be, and it'll give them a chance. So it was good to see him have a 20-point showing after not having one since, I think, February 22nd was the start of the road trip. So, went with Miles Bridges last night.
Bridges goes in, challenging the defender, missed it. Oh, but he stuffs it back. A right-handed putback, Dr. Pepper dunk for Miles Bridges, his first points of the second half. And we're tied up again at 84.
And the majority of the reason why the Hornets were leading at halftime was because of Miles. I talked about the fact that 13 of his 27 coming in that first half, he was 5-9 from the field, 8 rebounds. Didn't do a ton there in that third quarter. He only scored 2 points in that third frame, but was able to come alive and finish with 12 of his 27 there in that fourth quarter. And you need that kind of scoring there in crunch time in those late moments. That's when you need those kinds of performances as well. So you touched on the plus minus a little bit. It hasn't been kind here to Miles over the last 2 games now for Charlotte, or 3 games, quite frankly. You go back to that game last night, he ends up finishing a minus 18 in the plus minus there last night. But you take a look and you go back to those Milwaukee games, and I know Milwaukee's a very good opponent, and I'm not taking anything away from them, but it was a minus 8 in that game on Friday. But you go back to the game that was a 38-point loss against the Bucks in Milwaukee on Tuesday, he was a minus 48. And I know that the depth is not quite there for the Hornets, and he still has to be out there playing 30, 35, 36 minutes like he did against the Bucks. So that plus minus is definitely going to be a little bit inflated, but hasn't been kind to Miles here over the last 3 games, despite the scoring and the offense has looked really, really good. For me, my silver lining performance in a game last night, I'm going to go with the mayor, as Sam Farber calls him. That's Grant Williams, 27 minutes off the bench. He was perfect from the field last night, 6-for-6 from the field, 1-for-1 beyond the arc. He did miss an and one opportunity at the free throw line, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, a block, and a steal. He just seems to be that guy that can organize everything defensively here for the Hornets. I know Steve Clifford has talked about that a lot here over the last couple of days and weeks now about what Grant Williams brings to this team, but he's a guy that can bring you consistent shooting as well. I mean, he's doesn't really have those peaks and valleys. He's just very consistent. He might not take 10 or 15 shots a game, but he might put up 4 or 5 or 6 like he did last night, and he's going to make more of them than he misses. And that's something that the Hornets certainly need, especially coming off the bench. I know Davis Bertans was almost in that category as well in the game last night. Like I mentioned, he had 11 points at halftime, and he was 4-6 from the field. Got cold there in the second half. He finishes 5-12 shooting and 4-10 beyond the arc. But again, he's a guy that's able to give you points off the bench. So Grant Williams, I thought, did a phenomenal job. He was also one of the best players in the plus-minus category as well, the best player on the Hornets at a plus 15. So I know that this matchup maybe was a little bit more beneficial for Grant Williams just because of the fact that Philadelphia elected to go small. Again, no Joel Embiid. They don't really have a choice other than to go small. They did start Mo Bamba last night, and he only played 19 minutes and didn't really provide that much action out there on the floor for the Sixers. But this felt like a game that Grant Williams was really going to be able to feast. I talked about that in the preview about the ability to go small here for the Hornets, and it worked out into their favor. It just was a couple of shots here or there. Philadelphia, give credit where credit's due. They got guys like Tobias Harris and Tyrese Maxey. Maxey was an all-star this season for a reason. He's a guy that can step up in the absence of a reigning MVP guy like Joel Embiid. So I thought the fact that Grant Williams was able to just take advantage of these matchups is a great sign because, again, despite his age and not being in the league very, very long, Grant Williams plays like a veteran out there that's been in the league for 10-plus years.
Yeah, and like I said, I've said a few times, I think, on past podcasts when, you know, since he's gotten to the team, I mean, he just brings so many things that the Hornets need. It, you know, the organization, like you said, the talk, the defensive IQ, the offensive IQ, you know, the floor spacing, the ability to play him in different lineups as a small ball five. And this was a little bit better of a matchup size-wise. I know they still lost the glass pretty badly to Philadelphia, but I think it matched up at least a little bit better than we've seen with the Milwaukee games, you know, with Lopez and Giannis and being able to have Grant out there to kind of space the floor a little bit and switch and things like that. So that's 2 good games in a row for him. And like you said, he just does so much from an organizational standpoint that it's hard to kind of quantify how valuable and how good he's been for this Hornets team. I think he's found a really good role here. I think being home has helped him. And I think he's done a good job with that bench unit kind of galvanizing it a little bit. I think him and Micic had a few. I'm looking at Grant's shot chart right now. He had 4 makes at the rim last night. He was 4-for-4 at the rim. And I want to say at least 2, maybe 3 of those were dump offs from Micic. So he seems to be finding some good chemistry there in that second unit. So I like the way the Hornets are using him. He can just do a little bit of everything. You can get creative with him, different lineups, and definitely a guy that they have needed and are using as much as they can right now.
I'm really glad you brought up Vasily Micic, because that makes this transition that much easier for our final segment here on the Hornets Hivecast. You recently wrote a piece on Hornets.com about the passing ability of Vasily Micic and how his European background is able to provide that spark and that flair here over across the pond here in the NBA game. We're going to talk about that piece here right after these messages on the Hornets Hivecast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. When Dr. Sabah and I decided to do a skincare line together, he said to me, we are going to give women meaningful beauty. And I said, that's exactly right. We want to give women meaningful beauty, which means each and every product is meaningful. It has a reason to exist. It's efficacious. You're going to get results. And then you just go out and live your life.
Meaningful beauty. Confidence is beautiful. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Grant Williams over to Micic. Micic dish underneath for Nick Richards, who will rock the rim. A powerful two-handed Dr. Pepper dunk. Richards off a nice find from Micic.
Vasily Micic was a pretty effective game last night for Charlotte. 13 points off the bench, 4 for 9 shooting from the field. Perfect at the free throw line, but most importantly, 7 assists in the game. Rob Longo and the lead writer of Hornets.com, Sam Prelli, putting a button on this edition of the Hornets Hivecast, as always, presented by Senta. And Sam, over the recent days and over the last couple of weeks, ever since Micic has made his way here to the Queen City, you've been working on a piece about him and his passing ability. You were able to publish that finally here on Hornets.com over the last few days, titled Why Perfecting the Euro Pass is a Priority for Vasily Micic. And without giving away too many secrets in the article, it's really just basically almost a little bit of a profile as well on the background that Vasily Micic has before coming here to Charlotte. I think it's pretty well known about him coming over from Europe and playing here over the last couple of months at Oklahoma City, coming over in that Gordon Hayward trade after he was acquired at the trade deadline here for Charlotte, along with Trey Mann and a couple of picks as well, and Davis Bertans, of course, too. But it's a journey that Vasily Micic has really been on. Native of Serbia, he's played in several other countries, came up through the Mega Basket program in Belgrade, Serbia. That's also where guys like Nikola Jokic also got their start and got their come up in the European game as well. Played in Germany, he's played in Turkey, played in Lithuania. He's played basically everywhere, and he's also been a MVP at the EuroLeague champion as well the last couple of seasons before finally making that jump here to the American game. But before I get into my thoughts on the article, I just wanted to give you the opportunity to talk about anything you may have learned here about Vasily Micic or his passing or his background that we've able to be seeing here over the last couple of weeks now that he's in Charlotte, getting more ample playing time and how it's really impacted the game as a whole here, especially for Charlotte over the last couple of weeks.
Yes, for sure. And thank you for obviously the plug. And I think the European game is something that's always interested me, and in how they develop players and the way the things they focus on, and talking to a few people and talking to Steve Clifford and Vasilier. And I think I also had a quote from Darko Rajakovic, who's also serving as a Toronto head coach from an availability a few weeks ago. And it's such a heavy emphasis on skill work, on fundamentals, and passing. It's very, very team oriented over there. They start, you know, putting guys in these academies very, very young, and a lot of the work and development they do is very, very team-based, whereas over here, it's a little bit, at least lately, the developmental process has drifted more individually, you know, doing one-on-one stuff, and it's just different. It's different, the American and the European developmental strategies right now, and just, you know, looking at why passing is such a big deal over there. Well, looked at a number of different factors of the FIBA game. The court is smaller, and there's no defensive 3 seconds. You can goaltend. The talent nearly isn't obviously nearly as good, so there's less kind of isolation stuff and you know, less open guys to be able to kick to all the time. So you've got to get creative with your passing. So it's really just kind of like a deep dive into why passing is such a big emphasis in the European game, and there's a lot of physical factors. With the court and with the, you know, game, they have a lot less possessions in games. They play slower. It's much more half court. They're not taking nearly as many threes. The tempo is down. Like, there's a lot of like interesting stuff kind of comparing and contrasting the NBA style or American style with the European game. So, it's not only Vasilij Micic. There's examples of other European guys that have come over here, especially all their centers that still have this passing ability, like Sabonis and Jokic and Luka Doncic, who I know is a guard, but he's 6'8". So there's a lot. I found a lot of like really interesting stuff. And I think the one thing I found that was the most interesting was if you look at last year's NBA leader in offensive rating and pace, it was the Sacramento Kings and the Golden State Warriors. So Sacramento had a 118.6 offensive rating last year, where there were about 7 squads in the EuroLeague, which is an 18-team league, that were at about 118 or higher. And the leading offensive team in the EuroLeague was Partizan in Serbia. They were 123 per 100 possessions, where Sacramento was 118.6. Biggest difference is the pace. They're not playing nearly as fast or taking nearly as many shots per game. So Golden State led the league in pace last year, 102.5 possessions per 48 minutes. That's about 85 and a half possessions per 40 minutes. I adjusted it for a EuroLeague game, whereas the EuroLeague leader had about 72 possessions, so about 13 possessions fewer per 40 minutes. It was Alba Berlin in Germany. So I found that really, really interesting that the offensive efficiency is very comparable between the NBA and EuroLeague, and in some cases actually better. It's just the pace is so much slower and so much grinded out and half-court possessions and just not nearly as fast, which makes the passing and the, you know, having to fit it through tight windows and things like that much more necessary, which I think is what kind of circles back to what you're seeing from guys like Vasilij Micic, the no-look passes, you know, behind the backs, the dump-offs, the kickouts. You've got to get creative with a smaller court, guys kind of clustered together a little bit more, and it kind of shows the way he plays now and the way some of these other Europeans play now is sort of indicative of the environment they've come from that's much smaller. And, you know, the rules kind of force you to play a certain way and to get creative a little bit more and play with more trickery and things like that.
A couple of things there that I want to touch on from what you said. And my opinion on the European game might differ a little bit, because when I look at the European game and based off of the way that they play and when they come over to the NBA level and also at the college level as well, I've seen a lot of, especially on the women's side of the game, a lot of women college players coming from Europe, and they play almost a completely different style. For me, it feels like, and I don't know if this is because of the way that the development program works, where it's not like the United States where it's AAU and high school and you're trying to play as many games as possible. When you're in Europe, I mean, you're in an academy. You're there, you're learning the game, but you're also getting your education at the same time. But your job is to play that sport. And in this instance, obviously, it's basketball. So you learn from a very, very young age the fundamentals. And it feels like the fundamentals on the European side are given a lot more attention than maybe on the American side. It feels like a lot of times, because the Americans are just a lot bigger and stronger and faster and maybe a little bit quicker as well, they rely on their physicality and their physical attributes a little bit more than maybe the fundamentals on learning a set shot, learning how to properly put together a jump shot. And you don't see that maybe in other instances in the European game as much. And the other thing that I want to touch on there too, and you kind of alluded to it, is the fewer minutes played. Obviously, that's going to play a big difference. The no defensive 3 seconds, the tighter windows. To me, that shows that every possession means just maybe a little bit more here, because you don't have that many cracks. You don't have a 24-second shot clock. You don't have that up and down pace where if you turn the ball over here in transition, it's really not that big of a deal because you're going to get the ball back in maybe, I don't know, 10 seconds later. It's not like that here in that sense in Europe where, you know, you have to really grind it out and one turnover can really make the difference in a game and really be very detrimental to another team. So those are some of the things that I learned, or at least I see in the European game. Do you ever get any of those things involved? Because I know you talked about, you talked to Steve Clifford in his piece as well, and he mentioned about how the fundamentals are a lot more honed in on for the European players. But to me, that's just kind of the, I guess, the observations that I have with these European guys compared to maybe some of the American players as well.
Yeah, and I'm not super tapped into the whole AAU scene, and I know there's you know, some challenges with it, but I think at large, if you look at the European style, and another good example of somebody that went through this was Teo Maledon when he was the Hornets. I wrote a piece about him going to INSEP, which is a kind of all-around sports science academy in Paris, and everything is structured. Everything, it's school, it's practice, it's school, it's lunch, it's school, it's another practice, it's lifting, it's stretching. I mean, everything is so regimented, whereas I think over here in the United States with AAU, there's a lot more emphasis on just playing games. Let's get games, let's play games. You know, there's less practice time. You know, you've got guys that maybe don't live necessarily near each other as much, and they can't practice two or three times a week, so they just meet up on the weekends, and it's just kind of getting out there and just trying to, you know, get games, get highlights, get film out there a little bit where you're not necessarily learning as much. And then you make a good point, the physical stuff. You know, if you're over here, if you're 6'10", 6'11", 7 feet, and you've always been the tallest kid in basketball, and you've always been the strongest and the most physical, there's less incentive to work on your passing, to work on your three-point shooting. Over there, it's not an option. You learn how to do that stuff, whether you're 7 feet or, you know, I mean, it's taught at such a young age that by the time these guys do grow, you know, Vasilij Micic said, you know, he was a little bit of a late bloomer, but by the time he grew to what he is now, 6'3", 6'4", he had already had a lot of those passing skills as a point guard. So I wouldn't doubt that that's the same as Luka Doncic. He learns all this stuff at such a young age, and by the time he hits puberty and starts growing, he's all of a sudden 6'8". So he's now the size of a small forward or wing, but he's got point guard skills because he can pass the ball and facilitate ball handle. Nikola Jokic, I think, got his start. You know, I'm sure he was always kind of a bigger guy, but water polo was the thing that kind of transitioned him to the passing. So it's really, really interesting to compare and contrast the approaches. I think, you know, one thing that Steve Clifford did said is the shot creation and the shot making here in the United States by the guys coming up is as good as it has ever been. I mean, it's very, very talented. You have some really, really good one-on-one scorers coming in. It's just a little bit more of an individualized process than what you're seeing not only in the past year, but also over in Europe. So I thought it was really interesting, some of the stuff I found. So if anybody is kind of curious about some of the differences and why things are emphasized a certain way based on environments and philosophies, definitely go take a look, because it was fun for me to kind of dig up some of this stuff, and I was glad to be able to put something together to share.
It's titled Why Perfecting the Euro Pass is a Priority for Vasilij Micic. You can read it now here at Hornets.com. That'll do it for this edition of the Hornets Hivecast. Sam Perley, the lead writer of Hornets.com, thank you for sharing the story. It was a great read, and we'll give you a well-earned day off here on the HHC tomorrow before we get you for a game recap against Toronto on Sunday.
Yes, and that one, a slightly earlier start time, so we're just kind of going backwards. We went from all the West Coast. Now we're at 7 p.m., 6 p.m. Pretty soon we'll be starting these games at noon, I'm sure, right?
I wouldn't mind that in the least bit. But in the meantime, we will get a 6 o'clock tip here tomorrow in Toronto. Myself and Sam Farber will have a preview podcast of that one. For Sam Perley, I'm Rob Longo saying so long. Thank you for joining us on this edition of the HHC. We'll talk to you tomorrow once again for a game preview against the Raptors here on the Hornets Hivecast.
Thank you for listening to the Hornets Hivecast, brought to you by Senta, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. For more coverage, visit Hornets.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.